Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome on in. It's Tobin's Fight Show here on 790 The Ticket. Thank you for tuning on in. Plenty to get to here in the world of mixed martial arts and boxing. And we'll start off this one. We got ourselves UFC 264 coming up next week as Dustin Poirier is taking on Conor McGregor. And no title on the line. And I've made my points known on that. I feel like Dustin Poirier is very deserving of a title shot. I understand that he was offered one when it comes to this bout. And he chose to go with the payday. And I think that this is an interesting week where we get into a bunch of stuff with that, especially with the Francis Ngannou news that went down this week. And, you know, basically the UFC deciding to put him on the shelf because he didn't like where things were going in negotiations for his next fight. And with Poirier, you know, this is crazy. I mean, you're talking about he said this week in an interview. It's like he either gets pay-per-view points or he doesn't. And that's determining whether or not you want to fight for Conor or if you want to fight for the belt. It's just a little bit wild. I just feel like the number one guy should have the opportunity to fight for a title in his fights and not have to choose to fight the cash cow. But it is what it is. Look, we're here. This is the fight that this is, I think, a really, really fun fight. Trilogies are always fun. It's an easy sell, especially when you have a trilogy that is evenly matched in both results. Like, you know, we have the Tyson Fury Deontay Wilder trilogy about 3.5 weeks away. Not exactly as compelling because, you know, Tyson Fury has won the vast majorities of the rounds. He dominated the last fight. And all we've really gotten are a bunch of like crazy conspiracies from Deontay Wilder. So not many people are really into this trilogy that's coming up. And it's not really 1-1. It's like 1-0-1, but kind of leaning like it could be 2-0. But it had a crazy ending the first fight. This one's just straight up. It's one guy knocked out one guy knocked out the other guy. Let's see what happens the third time around. But I really do think that this is Dustin's fight to win. I really think that he's just the better fighter right now. I truly believe that. Look, Conor McGregor, it's tough talking about him sometimes because he's become so polarizing, and it does, you don't want to feel like you're kicking dirt on a guy who did such amazing things in the sport. Conor, you know, is something the sport's never going to have again. His initial rise to fame, I don't know what's ever going to match that again. I don't know. Like the KO predictions, the steamrolling everybody, the beating the legendary status guy in Jose Aldo. I don't know who's ever going to do that again. I don't think it's ever going to be done again. So, you always want to respect how great and how important the guy was to UFC, what he meant for how much value that company held, and what, you know, and just how special that was. But, you know, was is kind of the key word there. And I do feel like Dustin has just been a much better fighter for a while. Now, it's not that if you were to match up their resumes all time, you know, Connor's got the gold, Connor's got the millions. Ultimately, as a fighter, that's what you want. But I just think as far as, like, who has the better resume as of the time Connor knocked out Jose Aldo to now, it's Dustin Poirier. You know, he's had more high-profile wins. He's been in tougher fights. He's been in more fights. You know, he's just been a lot more active. He's had championship headline fights that have been huge. And just beaten some really, really high-caliber guys. Looks like he's getting better. Doesn't look like you could ever break him. I mean, outside of Khabib Nurmagomedov, who beats everybody, and he almost got him. So I'm just looking for, in this fight, what do I feel like Connor can get the job done? You know, speaking this week, you know, I was speaking with our guy Lex from Titan FC, and he was like, well, you know, Connor's really good at rematches, and he thinks that he's going to get it done, and he has a close relationship with Dustin, and I respect, like, I mean, Lex knows more about fighting than I do. I mean, hell, he runs a damn promotion, and I respect what his opinion is on that. That's fine, but I just think that, one, you're putting a lot of stock into something that happened with Connor 5 years ago with the Nate Diaz fight, a whole nother weight class, a whole different fighter. And really, over this period of him, struggling with his record, where ever since he won the UFC lightweight championship, his losses to Khabib as a win over Donald Cerrone, who looked really, really rough, and Dustin Poirier, it's not much to pick from. I give you that, because he's not very active. He's an uber superstar. There was a pandemic thrown there in the middle of it. I get all of that stuff, and those are all fine things if you want to talk yourself up as a Connor fan, and you want to believe that, and you want to believe that Mystic Mac is going to come back, and he is going to do incredible things against Dustin Poirier. I'm not saying it's impossible. The guy, you know, still can come up with some special stuff. I'd like to see him use his kicks a little bit more. I'd like him to be a little bit more vintage. Because honestly, I think it's his best shot. I really think that if this guy goes in there and he goes into a fight where you're going to come basically down to hands, he doesn't have better hands than Dustin Poirier. He may have a better left hand. He may have a better bomb when it comes to just a one-hitter quitter shot. Sure. I mean, we've all seen what he's been able to do to certain guys, especially, you know, you think about what he did to Dustin 7 years ago, what he did to everybody in that featherweight division. But I'm just, you know, with Connor, I just don't think he's ever been quite as good as he was at featherweight. You know, there's been a lot of talk about who's the greatest featherweight champion of all time, and the only real knock that Connor ever gets against him for that is he never defended the belt, as if you don't think he could have defended the belt at 145 pounds. No. I mean, like, the guy went up, he won the belt at 145 pounds. He wanted to go to 155. The whole swerve happened the way it did with it, you know, Dos Anjos getting hurt, Nate Diaz, we all know the story. But I really, truly believe there's never been as good a fighter at 145 pounds as Conor McGregor. I don't think it's Max Holloway. I don't think it's Jose Aldo. I think he takes the crown there. I really do. And that's just that, you know. And if you want to come up with me, well, what's your evidence he's never defended the belt? It's like, yeah, well, he also knocked out the guy who reigned over that division longer than anybody, and he knocked him out in 13 seconds. And people always say, well, that's a fluke. That's a lucky punch. The fight's the fight. The fight's the fight to me. You know, like, you could do it over 5 rounds. You could do it over 13 seconds. It doesn't really matter to me. Like, the fight, you guys had a competition. You had trained several months for the fight, and that was the result that we got. And in my mind, the results matter in that case. But ever since he left that division, he's just been a little bit less special. You know, I think that he was the best on earth at that weight class. And I don't think we've seen that guy too much really ever since. Because the Nate Diaz fights, you know, they were very back and forth. That's kind of the only rematch we can go off of. And the Nate Diaz rematch, I still think Connor won. I don't think, you know, some people think that that Nate got hosed. Obviously, Nate thinks he got hosed. I thought that Connor deserved to win that fight, but it still wasn't the most perfect performance of all time. And it's a guy against Nate who, you know, some will label a journeyman. I know others will look at him as a legend and can do no wrong. And, you know, he is a superstar, no doubt, especially because he is the man who kind of ended the, ended the Conor McGregor meteor when it was at its highest flight. But, you know, I just think that the guy isn't as good as he's been for a while. Now, one thing that I think is good for him going into this fight is that this is the quickest turnaround that he's had since that rematch. And what I mean by that is, you know, he went into that 2016 and, you know, it wasn't, he had the whole break and whatnot. But, you know, the Nate Diaz fight happens and then he fights him again just a few months later and then turns around and fights Eddie Alvarez a few months later. And then the whole Floyd Mayweather thing happens. So what I think Conor fans can take as a plus is, okay, he's getting right back into it. He's fighting fairly soon thereafter. 7 months after, it's not that big of a layoff. Conor McGregor is going to be right back in there against the same guy, sharpening his tool sets. I'm sure being prepared to not get calf kicked. But the questions that Conor has always had and the flaws that Conor has always had, I still think that Dustin Poirier can go exposed because you have a very, it feels with Conor, you have a very fine window on when he can go win the fight. Because while I say he's always been a special fighter, 145 pounds, he's also probably the most special one to two round fighter that we've seen in the sport. And if it gets past that, or even just halfway through that second round, stuff gets dicey for him. It does. He burns out quickly. You can call it cardio. You could say the punches don't have the same snap, whatever. I just think that these are things that have always been true with Conor. He's not been as good as the fighters have gotten bigger, and he's not as good as the fight goes on. And Dustin has been better as he's gone up in weight, and he's better as the fight goes on. That's just, these things are true about him. Their entire careers, no excuses, no timeline, no nothing. Conor can still land that bomb and maybe piece up Dustin. Maybe Dustin just doesn't have it on that night, or maybe Conor, who's a very smart fighter, can make the adjustments. But I don't think he's going to. I think that Dustin's going to get this thing done. I think that I could actually see the fight going a little bit longer because I do think that Conor will show some new wrinkles. I do think that he'll come in because it's a quicker turnaround, in better shape. Maybe with a couple new bags. But I think that ultimately, I think it's probably going to lead to these guys slugging back and forth a little bit longer. And I just think that the longer that this fight goes, the worse it gets for Conor. I really, really do. I don't think that this is going to be one of those things where if Dustin goes in there and all of a sudden, you know, Conor gets through two rounds, Dustin's going to be like, oh no, I didn't get him out of there. Dustin's going to be like, okay, cool. I'm just getting warmed up. You know, like that's the type of savage that the guy is as a fighter. So, and I truly do believe right now he's the best 155er on the planet who is active. Khabib's obviously the best. I think Oliveira is an absolute beast. I think Dustin's a little bit better, but I just think Oliveira can definitely beat him and has a ton of tricks in his bag to go and make that fight happen. He's well-rounded. He's a Swiss Army knife. You can't count him out in any championship fight. He's just got too many ways to win. He's got too many ways to win, and he showed his durability the last fight against Michael Chandler too. He's an absolute savage, but for me, I really think for Conor, it's going to be interesting because if he doesn't win this fight, where does he go from here? And, you know, I think Dustin said an interesting thing this week to Brett Okamoto, where he was saying that, you know, I don't ever count Al Connor's will or any of this stuff because he doesn't have to do this. You know, there is a level of him where you got to respect him as a competitor because he is making this fight happen. He is stepping into the octagon. He is going in there and wanting to do this when he really, what did he just sell? Proper 12 for hundreds of millions of dollars. I don't know what the exact figure was. I think they said it was 600. I know all that doesn't go to him, but let's just say Conor made $100 million. Let's just be, you know, safe on it. Let's say he made $50 million, you know, just to be safe on it, on liquor, even though he probably made way more than that. The guy doesn't have to do this. He doesn't have to fight anymore. And Dustin, you know, is pretty open that this is going to be the biggest payday of his career, which is great. And I think the thing that's going to suck for Dustin is I hope that if Dustin gets these two wins over Conor, it's not looked upon as, well, Conor's washed and, you know, he doesn't get the McGregor rub that Khabib Nurmagomedov did, Nate Diaz did. Because the thing that's going to be crazy about it is he's going to have twice as many wins as those guys do. But those guys, when they beat Conor McGregor, they skyrocketed to the moon. You know, Khabib became a big star. Nate Diaz, big star. And if Dustin Poirier wins this fight, it would be some kind of ironic that if he were to beat him twice, that he almost would probably like dim the light on it a little bit. Just because people are going to be like, okay, Conor's done. Even though Dustin is a better fighter than Nate Diaz is. And even though Dustin has been one of the best fighters at this weight class, which has been, you know, labeled the best weight class in UFC, he's been, outside of Nurmagomedov, the best guy at this weight class. So, I don't know, man. I just look at this fight coming up this week. I don't see a lot of scenarios where I think Conor's going to win just because I think Dustin's better at this point in his career. And I don't think that's a knock on Conor. I think Dustin's tremendous. If he does, look, I'll be sitting here and I'm sure I'll get a bunch of Ireland in my mentions and they'll say you never doubt Mystic Mac. And look, if he comes back and he wins this fight, it's going to be huge for him and it's going to be huge for the sport. And, you know, maybe he'll be back on his ride to the title. Maybe he'll go up and wait and fight Kamaru Usman. Who knows? But I think he's got a tall task in front of him. A tall task against a guy who whoops ass. And I'm taking Dustin Poirier to win this trilogy fight and take the 2-1 advantage going into his championship fight against Charles Oliveira. We'll take a quick break. A lot of fun stuff to get to on this card as well. So we'll get to that stuff on the other side. Welcome back, everybody. Tobin's Fight Show here on 790 The Ticket. Thank you for tuning in. I want to continue on UFC 264 next week. Good card coming on up, especially the meat of the order. I obviously, we talked about the main event previously, but I like the co-main event, man. I'm very intrigued by Stephen Wonderboy Thompson versus Gilbert Burns. For a couple of reasons. One, it's the first time we've seen Gilbert in the octagon since his knockout loss to Kamaru Usman, which was, what are we talking now? We're talking 6 months ago, where he went and lost to Kamaru. Really had him, I think, clipped and hurt in was it the first or second round of that one? And Kamaru ended up putting him away. I think he got him in the first round. Then it was almost put away in the second round. Then was put away in the third round. So put him in danger there a little bit. But the fun ride that he was on at welterweight, where he was really steamrolling and got himself a great opportunity to the title just by saying yes. Now he has the opportunity to bounce back. Now the thing that's interesting to me is, you know, we talked about this with the main event where Dustin, he wins this fight, he's likely fighting Charles Oliveira for the championship. I would say if Conor wins, he's probably fighting Charles Oliveira for the championship. I think for this one, I wouldn't say this is a two-way street. I don't think that if Gilbert wins, he can get himself back into the good graces of getting a championship fight against Kamaru Usman. But Stephen Wonderboy, you know, the welterweight division's in an interesting spot right now because you have Kamaru's reigning supreme over everybody. He is supposed to fight Colby Covington. It seems like that's the vibe we got from Dana. But we don't have an official announcement. We have rumors. We have stuff that's out there, but we don't have an official date on it. I am wondering if Stephen Wonderboy Thompson, could he have one of those vintage Wonderboy KOs? You know, something that's just really, really spectacular. Something like he did against Jake Ellenberger, something like he did against Johnny Hendricks. Could he do something in that realm where it's people's like, oh, Wonderboy back, and I want to see that? Because the Kamaru Colby fight's good. It was a great fight. I thought it was 2-2 before Kamaru put him away in the fifth round. Some people had a 3-1, whatever. It was a great fight. You know it was a great fight, no matter how you had it scored. And I think for Kamaru, he's a guy who seems like he's looking for new challenges. You know, he's been more active than his challengers have been. And I think that's a fair criticism. That's why I said I didn't really have a problem if they threw him a Nate Diaz. I think that now it's tough now because Nate just lost to Leon Edwards. But at the time when I was in Jacksonville and I was at the ViStar Memorial Arena and he's there with the belt and he's fresh off of knocking out Jorge Masvidal cold, you think to yourself, this dude deserves something of whatever he wants. He deserves a little bit of new blood. Now, Stephen Wonderboy Thompson is not new blood. He's old blood. He's been around. But at least he's newish blood with this certain championship match. Everybody knows that he's good. You know, he's got a resume that speaks for itself. Beaten, you know, the likes of Rory McDonald, beaten a Jorge Masvidal. He's beaten Vicente Luque, Jeff Neal. Both guys very respectable. His Darren Till fight was razor thin, and it was a fight where Till even missed weight. So, I mean, his only real knock that's weird is the losses to Woodley, and they weren't very exciting fights. They weren't great championship fights. And then, of course, getting knocked out by Pettis, but he's avenged that. He's won two straight after that. So I'm just wondering, really, from this moment, it's not really so much a prediction because I don't really know who wins this fight. I think I'm gonna lean Wonderboy because I think he's got enough of the arsenal in the tool bag where you're going in there against a guy who just got knocked out brutally. I think that he could do some things that really, really will keep Gilbert hesitant and, you know, we'll make it a very tough fight for Gilbert to want to get off his shots. You know, maybe he goes in there and he just throws willy-nilly anyway. But I think it's a tough guy to come back against, if you get my drift with that one. So I think for Wonderboy, this is an interesting one because I really do think that Kamaru is looking for something that wets his whistle, gets him a little bit excited. And though Wonderboy is not like this big box office draw, he is more established than Leon Edwards. He's been in the nobody ever thinks you're gonna have an easy fight taking on Wonderboy Thompson. And quite frankly, like if you're Kamaru, it kind of goes to the you remember when like Stylebender said he wanted to fight Yoel Romero, even though Yoel was coming off of losses. But you're like, yeah, but he's fighting Yoel Romero. Like you're not gonna not give him credit for fighting Romero because it's a tough fight. Nobody ever wants it. Same thing with Wonderboy. It's like, yeah, we've already seen him in the championship picture before. Yeah, he's a little bit older, but he's coming off. If he wins this fight, it would be three straight. And you're never going to not give a guy credit for fighting Wonderboy Thompson. Like, he's a badass. He's one of the best in the world. So I think it's an interesting one. I think it's an interesting storyline going into that. I think that it's possible that he could swoop in there and possibly get a title fight. The other one that really interests me is really the fight in the middle of the main event. That's a heavyweight match between Tai Tuivasa and Greg Hardy. And this is an interesting one for a couple of reasons. One, Greg Hardy is coming off of his first. What I would really say, you know, I do a thing on my regular sports show where I talk about true wins, true losses, right? You lose to the Denver Nuggets second night of a back-to-back on a road trip. It's a legal error. It's not a true loss, all right? You have a game where Jimmy Butler doesn't play and the other team beats you. It's a loss, but it's not a true loss. You know what I'm saying? So for Greg Hardy, he really didn't have something you could look upon and say, that's a true loss. You know, if you look back on his career, you're like, Alan Crowder, remember that of the illegal knee, when he lost with the inhaler thing. It was a win for Hardy, then it got overturned, so that's no contest. Then you had the Volkov, which was a fight I think he earned a ton of respect, because Volkov was top 10 in the world. He flew to Russia. I think he did that fight on like 3 weeks' notice. And I think earned a lot of respect. This last fight against Marcin Tybura, first true loss of Greg Hardy's career. You know, TKO'd, beaten. You know, it's there's no asterisk you can really throw up there, you know. So that's an interesting thing that Greg Hardy has to bounce back from. You know, he is he's had a kind of an uneven mixed martial arts career, in that there's been a lot of weird stuff, but he's gotten some wins. You know, you think about a guy who's not been doing it that long. He's in the UFC. He's got his record to, what is he? He's at 7-3. It's a respectable record. It's not like the most beautiful resume in the world, but look, I'm sure there's a lot of people who thought, hey, this guy's a NFL defensive player. What's he going to do in the sport? He's made a career out of it. Dude, he's been doing it, what now? This is his third year doing it. You know, it's, and so, you know, I'm not, this isn't the Give Greg Hardy His Flowers show. I'm just saying it's an interesting point in his career, in that, you know, he's a guy who talks a big game. He's like, I'm going to be the Michael Jordan, the crossover athlete, all that. Look, I'm just going to see, you know, is he going to be a contender? Is he going to be any good at this? You know what I mean? And, this is an interesting spot where he finds himself out, because he's taking on a guy in Tai Tuivasa, who I wouldn't say was in the same place as him, because I do think Tai burst onto the scene, you know, started 9-0. You know, everybody really loved this guy. He's doing the shoey. You know, I feel bad for him, because I've been seeing, you know, like around Twitter, what's making around the rounds. Oh, fans around big league ballparks are drinking out of shoes. He stole that from Australia, bro. The Australians been doing the shoey forever. It's a thing. Beast had to do one back in the day. We made him do a shoey. We had Tai Tuivasa on the show back in the day. He told us about the shoey. We've asked other Australian athletes about the shoey. That's their thing. You're stealing it. Either way, it's fine. You can steal it. I don't think they have a problem with you guys doing the shoey, but at least acknowledge and give credit where credit's due. But he himself, you know, he got off to this hot start, and then he ended up, He lost three straight fights. Lost to Junior Dos Santos, which I think if he would have won that fight, he might have been, like, into the title picture. And, you know, it was one of those things where the savvy vet got him and beat him up pretty badly in the second round. Lost to Blagoy Ivanov and that hole in his stomach, and then lost another one where he got submitted. And you're like, all right, well, Is this train over for him? Now he's come back and he's won two straight. Beat Stefan Struve, very good win for him. And then beat I don't know this dude, Harry Hunsucker, but he knocked him out. I mean, like, good for him. So I think it's an interesting one from this standpoint. I don't think it puts Ty back into contention quite yet, but I think once you get that 3-fight win streak back in your mind, then they can go and give him another contender to say, hey, where are you at with this? So it's an interesting fight for both of them. I'm going to lean Ty. I just think that I've seen this guy with a little bit higher class of competition have some success. And, you know, Greg Hardy is, you know, Greg Hardy can definitely get you. And he's got that. I mean, he's a big dude. And he really is. You're like, you know, I could imagine being in a cage with Greg Hardy. It's got to be pretty intimidating, especially early on, because he's winging some real bombs at you. But, you know, I do think that he is one of those guys where the gas tank gets empty pretty quickly on him, in that he's just not as dangerous. Not that he can't go win. I mean, he's been the distance. He's won unanimous decisions before. But he's just not as dangerous once you get past those early stages with him. So I'm going to lean Ty on that one to get the win. And should be an interesting one. And then let's see, you got Irene Aldana against Yana Kunitskaya. That's a fun one. And then Sean O'Malley is taking on a late replacement as his opponent went down. But Sean O'Malley, always an interesting one. They got him doing the media rounds next week. So we'll see what happens for the Sugar Show, who was able to, as he says, remain undefeated. But in all honesty, you know, that win over Thomas Almeida was a big one for him. You know, him going and getting that win to eradicate what happened against Chico Vera was big for him. And you know, he's still fairly young. I mean, he's 26 years old. He's going to be 27 in October. Still a lot of growth that can happen there with Sugar Sean, for sure. But it's a fun card next week, man. Very, very enjoyable as far as the entire slate is concerned. I want to get into this. So a lot of people have been asking my thoughts on the interim title that was announced this week. So Derek Lewis, he's fighting Cyril Gane for the interim heavyweight championship of the world. I say this on its face. I like both of those guys as fighters. I would say I'm more of a Derek Lewis fan. You know, I'm like the uneducated, love the slugger. He's hilarious. What's not to love about Derek Lewis? But I don't get it, man. You know, it's just one of these things where with Francis, you have this guy, right? You've been wanting Francis Ngannou to be heavyweight champion for a long time. I mean, they were doing, when Francis first had a Stipe fight, they were talking him up. This is UFC Drago. This is the unstoppable force. He's a monster. The knockouts that he had against Alistair Overeem, I mean, it was like something out of Street Fighter crossed with Mortal Kombat. We have been waiting for Francis Ngannou to be heavyweight champion for a long time, man. This is what we've wanted. And, you know, I had Dana White on, what was it? I guess it's probably 3 weeks ago, whenever the last pay-per-view was, before the three title fight. And, you know, unprompted, we were talking about Oscar De La Hoya, and unprompted, he was coming out there and talking about Francis Ngannou being upset about not making the money that the YouTubers are making. And, you know, it's just one of those things. Like, I didn't ask him about the Francis Ngannou thing. I figured he'd been asked ad nauseum about that, whatever. But he brought it up, and I was like, that's kind of weird. But, you know, he's gonna hose down his heavyweight champion. That's a strange deal. I'll never understand why Dana goes this route with this stuff. You know, it's just a weird thing to me that he's the dude, you know, like he's, you know, probably outside of Conor right now, he's the biggest star in the sport, has been forever. You know, everybody, you know, when he says stuff, people want to see what the boss has to say about the sport and all that type of stuff. But these feuds that he gets into with his fighters sometimes is just strange to me, man. And the need to go over the top with stuff is just strange, because Francis should be a cash cow for you. You should be happy that a guy like that is going to be headlining heavyweight championship fights for you for years to come, I would think. And to go the route of, let's put him on the shelf. Let's let them watch somebody else get the heavyweight championship wrapped around their waist. And I don't know, man. I just think it's a strange way to go. Like, for me, if you asked 100 MMA fans right now, if you could have one fight, what fight would it be? And I would venture to guess 90 of those fans probably would come back at you with John Jones versus Francis Ngannou for the heavyweight championship of the world. Maybe there's something else that they got for me. Maybe it's a Khabib versus Conor too. Maybe it's a Khabib versus GSP. Maybe it's Kamaru versus Nurmagomedov. Some kind of combination of that. But I think right now the majority of fans would come back and tell you, I want to see a heavyweight championship, undisputed heavyweight championship fight between John Jones and Francis Ngannou. And we've done the John Jones thing on this show. We know his history with the UFC, not great as far as the tumultuous ride, the arrests, the suspensions, the drug tests. You know, in some ways, I can almost get the UFC looking at John Jones and being like, really, dude? You know, I can kind of hear them out on that because they've been through a lot of BS with John. But on the other side, you finally have a fight that I think can really bleed into the mainstream that doesn't involve Conor McGregor or Ronda Rousey. And it's been a long time since you could say that. How many fights right now can you say that about? They thought they were going to have that with Stipe and Daniel Cormier back in the day. Didn't really happen. Daniel and John did. Daniel and John had that appeal. But there's not too many where you could really say anymore, unless it has Brock Lesnar crossover. If it doesn't involve Brock, Connor, and Ronda, you know, who over the last, hell, I'll give it 6 years, who has had that ability to say, bam, that's a bar none mainstream $1 million+ pay-per-view fight, or million buy paper, whatever the term is. This is it, man. And probably more so, and probably into the 1.5 range, and maybe if you did it right, the 2 million range. If you did them and then put, you know, something even sicker on that card too. To do this to Francis is bullcrap, you know? Like, he just won the title 3 months ago, and you're having somebody else fight. First of all, there's definitely been champions who have sat longer than that. He sat longer than that when DC and Stipe were figuring their things out, and he was fighting Jairzinho Rozenstrike. It just makes no sense to me, man. And, you know, and all respect, but like, how many even UFC fans have seen every second of Cyril Gane's last three fights? How many? I feel like one of them was like at 4 p.m. because I think I was flying somewhere when he was fighting. So I just think it's a stupid, stupid move by the UFC to do this with Francis Ngannou. Treat your stars like stars. I get it. Nobody wants to hear these guys bellyache about money. But your solution is, never mind. We'll just have somebody else fight for your title. It's just very weird. We're back after this. All right, welcome back. Tobin's Fight Show here on 790 The Ticket. Thank you for tuning in, everybody. Much appreciated. Thank you for getting to it. I saw this week that Riddick Bowe was going to be doing a deal with Celebrity Boxing. Man, I hope they just take it easy on Big Daddy Bowe, man. Big Daddy Bowe, just a sweetheart of a dude. No need for this to happen. I really hope that this is something where he is just moving around the ring and you know, almost like a squash match. Like, put him in there with, like, I don't know, dude. Somebody that can't hurt him. I don't want to see anything with that. Anything with that type of bad stuff that could happen to him. This week, Triller announced that they are starting an MSG boxing series, which is going to be interesting. So they are heading on over to do something at Madison Square Garden, a monthly boxing series. It's going to run Tuesday night, and it's going to be up in the theater, the Hulu Theater. And they're going to have Michael Hunter, who was supposed to be on the Kambosos versus Teofimo Lopez card. He's going to be facing Mike Wilson, and it could be a WBA title eliminator. So we'll keep an eye on that. But anyway, the Teofimo Lopez, George Kambosos card, that seems like it's going to be postponed even further. We talked a little bit about this week. I've kind of beat that fight into the ground. So when there's new news on it, I'll let you know. I saw this week Mikey Garcia, Regis Prograis are in the advanced talks for a showdown at junior welterweight, 140 pounds, which would be kind of cool. Regis Prograis had a great video this week where he is running. He is doing his road work after what he claims was just a run at Tootsie's. It's a really hilarious video. I would go check it out on his Twitter account, but it was really, really fun. Shout out, by the way, to our guy Xander Zayas on the boxing side. He was named the mid-fight prospect of the year by ESPN, which was really cool. They did their mid-season awards. They did Canelo Alvarez, best male fighter, Clarissa Shields, best female fighter. Best fight was Chuck Lacito Gonzalez against Juan Francisco Estrada. That was a really good fight. Really cool fight. Best knockout was Oscar Valdez knocking out Michael Burchalt. And but Xander, you know, 18 years old, man. He looks absolutely phenomenal. Great kid, great head on the shoulders. Got a lot of shine his last time out, too. So I keep telling you guys this, something for local. If you're looking for something to tune into, and you're looking for some a great local story to follow, Xander's the dude, man. He's he is that dude. I don't know how the hell he's gonna keep making welterweight, because he's a behemoth for that size, but he's doing it. He's disciplined. He's working hard, and is just a sweetheart of a dude outside of the ring. But mean mother bleeper when he's between the ropes. I mean, that's for sure. So shout out to him for getting that that honor this past week. Really, really cool for him. This week you had Floyd Mayweather. He started training Tyron Woodley. They posted on social media Tyron Woodley was lacing up the gloves with old Floyd Mayweather. He says, bank robbery in progress. Y'all bleeped up, and that fight is going down. When is him? Him and Jake Paul is in August. They're taking each other on. So that's going to be I am honestly, I can't believe that I've gotten to this point, but I am actually interested in that one. I think that, you know, I'm not one of these ones where I think Jake is completely out of the water on this one. Like, I think that he is, we're in too deep of water, I should say. You know, people keep going with the, you know, he's finally taking out a guy he can punch back. And that's true. I mean, you know, we have not seen, for example, like, you know, not to get cliche with the Mike Tyson thing about you, there's always a plan to get punched in the face. But we really haven't seen Jake Paul in a situation where somebody can punch him back. That he, in other words, we haven't seen him in a position where he can face a ton of danger in there. And Tyron Woodley can put your lights out. He can do that. But you know, this is still a guy who we have not seen look very good in combat sports in a while. It's just been a while for Tyron Woodley. And he's also a guy where you wish like if he threw a little bit more. Now look, if he can catch Jake on a mistake, if he's a little faster than Jake and he can pop him with something, yeah, maybe that he's in trouble. But you know, I think Jake Paul's gonna be bigger. I think that there's gonna be some things there that will give Woodley issues. I think we'll give Woodley's issues. Like I think we all watch Jake Paul, and even I keep saying this, like with Jake Paul, like, I don't know how good he is. I don't know where this all ends up, but it does take something to flatline people the way that he does and put his punches together the way that he does, even if it's against bums. So, you know, a lot of you know, for a lot of guys when they're making their way up the rankings, they're taking on guys with terrible records, you know, guys who don't have an element of danger to them, because you just want to see the work that you put in and be able to put that output. Now the question is, what will it be like when he is having stuff fired back at him? How tired does he get? How worried does he get? How much does it throw him off? How much does he dislike getting hit? All that type of stuff is going to be interesting stuff that that you know, Tyron is going to be more equipped in giving back to him than other guys. But I think that, you know, the one thing that the Ben Askren fight, I guess, showed is that, all right, you know, the whole idea that just because you've been in there with tough guys doesn't mean that you could survive against this particular guy if you especially are in a different sport. So, you know, I don't know what the Mayweather thing is going to do for him or not. I think that it's a cool thing to have in your back pocket as far as, like, you know, all access and 24/7 and all that type of stuff. That's cool. And certainly, I'm sure if Floyd is part of the promotion, I don't know what kind of hand he's going to have in it. I don't know how much money he wants to make Jake Paul, but you know, certainly with the gotcha hat element to it, you got something there as well that that people that they'll definitely have plenty of footage to roll in. But don't forget to credit it correctly when you're putting certain footage up there. I'm just saying, you know, just letting you know with that Showtime, you know, no pressure or nothing. I'm just throwing it out there. You know, don't be bums about it. Speaking of guys angling for the Paul brothers, I saw this too. So Rashad Evans, Sugar Rashad Evans, who in a lot of ways is like, I don't know what the label I want to put on him on this, but he's like the godfather of like South Florida boxing as far as like, just like everybody loves the dude down here. You know, you think about all the guy like Kamaru Usman sleeping on his couch, Izzy Adesanya, all these guys who have had success, like have been, helped along the way by Rashad Evans, which is just a really cool thing. The guy's just as decent as they come. But he said that he's coming out of retirement, and he's committed to competing in MMA or boxing in the near future. I can't imagine that he's going to be in the UFC. I think he was out of contract with them for a while. He's apparently angling. He wants to fight Logan Paul. He wants to fight Logan Paul, and so he said that he's angling to either fight Logan Paul or Roy Jones Jr. I got to say, though, with Rashad, man, I just don't have it's been so long since we've seen Rashad Evans be successful in combat sports. I don't have the big appetite to see him fight anybody. Especially like Roy Jones Jr. Like the only guy in mixed martial arts I'm really want to see Roy Jones box is Anderson Silva, because that's kind of been a thing forever about those two guys. Him versus Roy Jones versus Rashad Evans, like you're talking about like two of my favorite fighters. I don't want to see them fight at this age. I really don't. Him versus Logan Paul, like I don't know, man. I feel like that only ends badly for him. You know, I think right now, like if you're going to call out Logan Paul, you better be damn sure that you're going to go knock him out, because as we've seen the way he's spun the Floyd Mayweather fight, it's, if you don't get the knockout against these guys, like they're going to make it be a bad look against you. And so look, you're going to make a ton of dough. I would think, I don't know how much Rashad Evans brings, how much he brings to the table as far as like a ton of fans wanted to see Logan Paul fight him. But, you know, from my standpoint, I just think that, you know, these guys who just want to, you know, continue to just, you know, jet towards the Logan Paul thing or the Jake Paul thing. Yeah, man, I really hope that they're sure that they go and finish the job now, because as we saw with Floyd, like, yeah, it was gimmicky. He was a lot lighter than Logan Paul, but he wasn't able to put him away. I thought that he won the boxing match, but I thought he was gonna beat him until a ref pulled him off of him, and he didn't. So, you know, but look, man, I hope that I hope Rashad goes out there and you know, gets something creative and gets something cool to do. But neither one of those really jump off the page to me as fights I'm crazy interested in seeing. That's our show for this week, everybody. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll talk to you next time.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.